Thornwood House, written by Anna Roma and read by Eloise Oxer. In my mind's eye, all I could see was the giant beech, with its pale, scaly bark and burnt-out trunk, and the odd ladder-like branch formation sprouting from its flank. I could still see Hobe reaching into the fork of it, his arm sunk to the elbow as he groped around in search of something, and it wasn't possum damage. Another image. Bronwyn, sitting on the garden bench before school, her hair a curtain around her flushed face as she tried to prise open the battered biscuit tin. "Pretty, isn't it, Mum?" She'd found it in an old canvas haversack, she'd said. Aside from the tin, there'd also been clothes, makeup, a hairbrush, rotten, all of it. She'd tossed them away, kept only the tin. The tin containing a girl's diary. Hobe caught me staring and grinned.
"Don't forget about that puppy," he said affably. "Tell young Bronwyn she can come over and pick one out any time she likes."
"Will do," I said, fake brightly, avoiding his eye. Something was off, and I couldn't say what. Only that the easy camaraderie I'd shared with Hobe Miller yesterday was gone. I dashed inside for my checkbook, cursing the dust that puffed off my jeans legs and sandals and sifted onto the floor. As I passed the back bedroom, I realised that I'd forgotten to ask Hobe about Eilish's grave and whether he knew of anyone other than Luella who might want to remember her with roses. It seemed irrelevant. All I wanted to do right now was get rid of Hobe as quickly as possible and pursue the thread of this latest mystery. I raced down the stairs and into the front yard, catching up with Hobe at the service road. Gurney had finished loading the mower and rake and pruning saws into the ute's tray and had secured it all with rope. He now sat in the passenger's seat, seatbelt fastened, sweat trickling from his sparse hair. He twisted around as Hobe and I approached and grinned happily when I thanked him again for the work he'd done. Hobe fastened his trimmer into the tray with the other tools. It was rude of me, but I couldn't seem to raise the same enthusiasm when I thanked him. Scribbling a check, I tore it off and handed it over, said goodbye, and watched him shamble around to the driver's side and get in. When he waved, I pretended to be distracted by something in a nearby tree. Then, even before the rusty utility had vanished in a miasma of dust, I was sprinting back across the fresh mown lawn towards the house.